Welcome back to Mechanical Dreams, the podcast where we dive deep into the machinery of modern machine learning and natural language processing. I'm your host, Linda, and as always, I am joined by the brilliantly skeptical Professor Norris. Skeptical? I prefer the term empirically demanding, Linda. But yes, hello everyone. I hear you have brought a paper today that is going to challenge my deep-seated love for standard autoregressive generation. I definitely have. Today, we are looking at a brand new paper from NVIDIA titled Nemotron Labs Diffusion, a tri-mode language model unifying autoregressive, diffusion, and self-speculation decoding. And Professor, I know how much you love your token-by-token generation, but we really need to talk about the bottleneck. Ah, the old autoregressive bottleneck. Yes, the strictly sequential nature of AR models. You generate a token, feed it back in, generate the next. It is fundamentally serial. In an era where our GPUs are massively parallel beasts, AR decoding in low batch size deployment scenarios leaves most of those compute units just twiddling their thumbs. Exactly. That resource underutilization is a massive headache for deployment, especially for personal AI inference or low concurrency settings. To fix this, the community has been looking into multi-token prediction and diffusion language models to generate multiple tokens per forward pass in parallel. Right, but let us be honest about diffusion language models for a second. They might offer parallel generation, but they have historically been quite clunky for text. Because the diffusion process treats all token permutations uniformly during training, they completely ignore the inherent left-to-right structure of natural language. Consequently, they require a ridiculous amount of data to reach even passable performance compared to standard AR models. You are completely right on the historical context. Existing diffusion LMs often lag behind in accuracy and practical efficiency trade-offs, but that's precisely why this paper is so exciting. The authors ask a provocative question. What if diffusion models should not compete with AR models? What if we could harmonize them? Harmonize them? You mean putting them into a single architecture? Usually when you try to make a model optimize for two fundamentally different paradigms, it ends up being mediocre at both. You're telling me this Nemotron Labs diffusion model doesn't suffer from that? Not only does it not suffer, it actually excels. It's a single tri-mode language model that can switch seamlessly between standard AR decoding, parallel diffusion decoding, and a hybrid self-speculation mode. And it achieves this while outperforming state-of-the-art open source AR and diffusion LMs in both accuracy and speed. Okay, you officially have my attention, Linda. I'm ready to dive into how they actually built this thing. How do they manage this joint training without catastrophic interference? So, returning to my question before the break, Linda, how exactly do you train a model to be both a sequential autoregressive generator and a parallel diffusion engine without the weights just battling each other for capacity?
The authors started with a core hypothesis. These two objectives actually complement each other. Think about it. AR pre-training inherently teaches a model to plan ahead for future tokens. The diffusion objective forces the model to explicitly reason about those future tokens, which unlocks that planning capability even further.
Ah, and inversely, if you keep the AR objective active during diffusion training, you anchor the model to the strict left-to-right structure of natural language. That solves the exact problem I mentioned earlier about diffusion models wasting capacity on arbitrary token permutations.
Exactly. So they trained the Nemotron Labs diffusion model on a weighted combination of an AR next token loss and a blockwise diffusion denoising loss. They set the diffusion loss weight, which they call alpha, to 0.3.
Why 0.3 specifically? Why not 50-50 split?
Because the diffusion loss magnitude is typically much larger than the AR loss. Setting alpha to 0.3 aligns the magnitudes of the two losses. They found this was the absolute sweet spot. If alpha is too large, the diffusion loss dominates and you lose AR capabilities. If it is too small, you do not get the parallel decoding benefits. At 0.3, they are harmonized perfectly.
Fascinating. But surely they do not start from scratch with both objectives turned on simultaneously. That sounds like an optimization nightmare.
You are spot on, Professor. They use a two-stage training strategy to ensure stability. Stage one is pure AR training. This anchors the representation to the language's inherent left-to-right inductive bias. They trained on 1 trillion tokens this way.
Makes perfect sense. Get the fundamentals of the language down first.
Right. Then in stage two, they turn on the joint objective for another 300 billion tokens. By doing it this way, the diffusion gradients complement the established AR priors instead of overriding them.
I'm curious about the architecture here. Computing an AR loss and a diffusion loss usually requires different attention masks. How do they do this efficiently without running two separate forward passes during training?
They use a dual-stream input with a structured attention pattern. They concatenate a corrupted or noised view of the sequence with a clean view. Inside the noisy stream, tokens attend bidirectionally within each block and causally across blocks.
And the clean stream?
The clean stream enforces a strictly causal mask. This allows them to compute the AR objective on the clean context part and the diffusion objective on the noisy part in the exact same forward-backward pass, completely avoiding label leakage.
That is highly efficient. But wait, diffusion objectives involve randomly sampling masked tokens. That means different sequences in a batch will have wildly different numbers of noisy tokens contributing to the loss. Doesn't that create massive gradient variance?
It does. When the noise level is small, you have fewer noisy tokens, but each one carries a larger weight. If you average the loss per sequence first, you amplify the influence of those small noise samples, which destabilizes training.
Let me guess, they flatten the batch.
Yes, they use global loss averaging. They treat all tokens across the entire batch equally and globally average the token losses. This effectively weights each training example in proportion to its number of contributing tokens, smoothing out those batch-to-batch fluctuations.
It is these little engineering details that make or break a large-scale training run. So what is the final verdict on the mutual impact? Does adding this diffusion loss degrade the AR mode's benchmark accuracy?
In their ablation study, they compared models trained with and without the diffusion loss. The joint training actually preserved or even slightly boosted the average AR accuracy. For their 8B Instruct model, they saw a plus 0.86% higher average accuracy in AR mode compared to the QWEN 3-8B baseline. It actually improves performance on coding and math benchmarks.
Incredible. By explicitly forcing the model to reconstruct blocks of text, it becomes a better sequential predictor. It's the best of both worlds.
It truly is. And because it preserves that AR accuracy, you can use Nemotron Labs Diffusion as a drop-in replacement for any conventional AR model pipeline, but with the added superpower of parallel decoding modes.
Which brings us to how we actually use this thing in practice. You teased a self-speculation mode earlier. I think it's time we unpack how this model acts as its own drafter and verifier. All right, Linda. Before the break, you promised to explain how this model acts as its own drafter and verifier. In standard speculative decoding, you usually have a tiny, fast model writing a rough draft and a massive, slow model checking the work. How does Nemotron Labs Diffusion pull this off alone?
It all comes back to the tri-mode capability we mentioned earlier. Mode 1 is standard autoregressive decoding. Mode 2 is pure blockwise diffusion denoising. But Mode 3 is self-speculation. It essentially strings Mode 2 and Mode 1 together in a single pipeline.
So, it uses the diffusion pathway to generate a multi-token draft in parallel and then feeds that draft into the AR pathway for verification.
Exactly. They call this linear self-speculation. The model appends a series of mask tokens to the verified prefix. The diffusion pathway denoises all those masks in parallel in one forward pass. Then a second forward pass runs over those drafted tokens using standard causal AR attention to verify them.
That is remarkably elegant. Because they share the exact same base representations from that joint training we discussed in the last chapter, the drafts must be highly accurate right out of the gate. But there is usually still a slight mismatch between a parallel prediction and a strict sequential one, right?
Spot on, Professor. To close that gap and maximize the acceptance rate, they introduce a LoRa-enhanced version of this linear self-speculation. They tune a lightweight LoRa adapter, just about 36 million parameters, exclusively on the attention layers of the diffusion draft pathway.
Oh, that is clever. They only tweak the drafter to sound exactly like the AR verifier, leaving the core AR weights completely frozen. That ensures you do not break the high-quality AR baseline we established earlier.
Yes, it protects the AR mode entirely, and the way they train this LoRa adapter is brilliant. They use an LK hybrid distribution matching loss combined with a token-level cross-entropy term. But the real magic is where they apply this loss.
Don't they just apply it to the whole drafted block?
No, they use an accepted plus one active position mask. They only compute the loss on the valid prefix, plus the very first rejected position.
Ah, I see. In standard speculative decoding, as soon as the verifier rejects a token, all subsequent draft tokens are discarded and the context changes. If you trained the drafter on tokens after a rejection, you would be conditioning it on a context that the autoregressive verifier will never actually see in deployment.
Exactly. You'd be training it on a counterfactual distribution. By restricting the loss to just the valid prefix and the point of failure, the LoRa adapter learns the perfect distribution to maximize acceptance. This pushes their 8B and 14B models to roughly 6 tokens per forward pass.
6 tokens per forward pass is a massive acceptance rate. How does this compare to something like Eagle 3? Multi-token prediction, or MTP, is usually the go-to for this kind of low concurrency, speculative setup.
It completely outperforms it. MTP methods like Eagle 3 rely on auxiliary prediction heads. The draft model has limited capacity and still generates recursively, meaning you pay the cost of the embedding layer and LM head on every step, even for tiny drafts. Nemotro Labs Diffusion drafts in true token parallel fashion.
And because it's a single model doing both tasks, you don't have to juggle memory between a separate drafter and verifier.
Precisely. Now, there's also a wild variant they explore called quadratic self-speculation. It does the drafting and verifying simultaneously in a single forward pass by using a complex interleaved attention mask. It essentially prepares the next block for all possible acceptance positions.
Quadratic? That sounds computationally heavy. Does it actually work better in practice?
Theoretically, yes. It achieves the highest tokens per forward pass, about 6.38x, because it prepares for the worst-case rejection scenario. But practically, it relies on flex attention kernels, which aren't fully optimized yet. Because of that overhead, the real device efficiency currently falls behind the linear two-pass method.
Hardware always dictates what wins in production, so linear self-speculation is the default champion here. But this raises a big question for me, Linda. If this diffusion drafter is so good, what is its actual limit? How far can parallel diffusion drafting actually go?
That's exactly what the authors wanted to know. And to answer it, they conducted something called a speed of the light analysis, which we're going to dive into next.
So, Linda, at the end of the last segment, you left me hanging with this speed of light analysis. In physics, the speed of light is the absolute cosmic speed limit. What does it mean for a diffusion language model?
In this paper, the speed of light, or SOL, is the theoretical upper bound of parallel decoding. It quantifies the absolute maximum tokens per forward pass the diffusion mode could achieve if it were equipped with an optimal, perfect sampling algorithm.
How do you even measure a theoretical upper bound for text generation? What do you use as the ground truth to say a generated token is correct?
They use the model's own serial denoising output as the oracle target. Basically, if you forced the diffusion model to decode just one single token per forward pass, step by step, what sequence would it eventually converge to? That sequence becomes the target.
Okay, I see. So the game is to figure out how many tokens you can predict in parallel in a single forward pass without deviating from that oracle target sequence. How do they find that maximum number?
They developed a method called recursive dynamic compaction. At each step, it ranks the predicted tokens by confidence and searches for the largest subset of tokens that are safe to commit together.
Safe, meaning that if you commit them all at once, continuing the decoding process still gets you exactly to the Oracle target. And I assume it is recursive because it has to simulate the rest of the generation to verify that safety.
Exactly. They tested this on the Speedbench dataset with a block size of 32, and the results are wild. The SOL acceptance rate is 7.6 tokens per forward pass on average.
7.6? And didn't you mention earlier that for highly structured data it gets even higher?
I did. For coding and multilingual tasks, it exceeds 10 tokens per forward pass. The authors hypothesize this reflects token-level entropy. Templated or strictly structured text has lower entropy, so partial context is often enough to confidently determine many tokens simultaneously.
Now, wait a minute. Let us look at the numbers. You mentioned in the last chapter that linear self-speculation gets an acceptance rate of about 6 tokens. 6 is pretty close to 7.6. Haven't we essentially already reached the speed of light with the LoRa drafter?
That is the catch. Acceptance rate is not the same as real tokens per forward pass, or TPF. Remember, linear self-speculation requires 2 forward passes per cycle, 1 to draft, 1 to verify. So its real TPF is halved. Plus, standard speculative decoding throws away everything after the first rejected token.
Ah, because it only accepts a contiguous prefix, but the diffusion model's SOL, let me guess, it can commit any subset of masked positions in a single pass, even non-contiguous ones.
You guessed it. And because the SOL analysis only uses the diffusion model, it only incurs 1 forward pass per step. So the real TPF for the SOL is about 6.02x compared to just 3.41x for linear self-speculation.
That is a 76.5% improvement just sitting there waiting to be unlocked. It means the intrinsic parallelism is already inside the model, but we are bottlenecked by how we extract it. We just need a smarter sampler that isn't afraid to commit to non-prefix tokens.
Precisely. Current confidence-based samplers are leaving a lot on the table. This analysis gives the research community a massive neon sign pointing to where the next big leap in inference acceleration will come from. But NVIDIA didn't just stop at analyzing an 8B model. They scaled this entire framework up, which is what we will cover in our final chapter.
Welcome back. Linda, you mentioned right before the break that NVIDIA didn't stop at the 8 billion parameter mark. How does this architecture handle scaling? In my experience, sometimes these complex multi-loss setups become unstable at higher parameter counts.
The good news is that the Nimitron Labs diffusion framework scales beautifully. They trained base, instruct, and even vision language models at 3B, 8B, and 14B parameter scales. And the triload capabilities remained robust across the board.
And does the parallel decoding efficiency hold up as the model gets bigger?
It actually improves. As the models get larger, their future prediction abilities become stronger. For instance, the linear self-speculation tokens per forward pass jumps from about 4.36x on the 3B model to almost 6x on the 14B model. The larger the model, the more reliable its diffusion drafts become.
That makes total sense. A model with larger capacity has a much richer internal representation of those token dependencies. Now, you also mentioned vision language models. How do they incorporate images into this joint AR diffusion training without blowing up the compute budget? Masking and denoising high-resolution image patches sounds incredibly expensive.
It would be, which is why they introduced an asymmetric dual stream layout. Remember that dual stream setup we talked about in Chapter 2? For the VLMs, they only apply the noise to the text response tokens. The vision tokens are never masked. They simply strip all the vision token positions entirely from the noisy half of the stream.
Ah, so the clean stream gets the full visual context to compute the AR loss, but the diffusion stream does not waste FLOPs trying to reconstruct the image itself. It just uses the image as cross-stream conditioning to denoise the text. That is a massive compute saving.
Exactly, and it pays off. Their 8B VLM beats the strongest diffusion VLM baseline, LaDa V8B, in AR accuracy. And in linear self-speculation mode, it hits up to 7.45 tokens per forward pass on long answer benchmarks, with almost zero drop in accuracy compared to the strict AR mode.
So, let me summarize. We have a single model family that can serve text and images, switch seamlessly between high-throughput autoregressive serving and low-latency parallel decoding, and act as its own drafter and verifier with incredible efficiency. I have to admit, Linda, you have successfully cured my skepticism today.
I always love a good conversion. The authors really proved that AR and diffusion are not competing enemies. They are highly complementary. And with that speed of light headroom we discussed, there is still so much room for the community to build better samplers and non-prefix verification schemes in the future.
It really does feel like a new chapter for inference acceleration. No more bolting on auxiliary heads or juggling multiple models. I will definitely be keeping a close eye on these tri-mode architectures.
And that is all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you for walking through this mechanical dream with me, Professor. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe, and we will see you next week with another deep dive into the latent space.